Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We are pleased to welcome Rebecca, who is here to talk with us about her experience of practicing Going Beyond Self-Hate in honor of International Day of Self-Hate, which is tomorrow. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks, Scott. And it's International Day of No Self-Hate
tomorrow. Thank you. That is an important piece. We are practicing No Self-Hate tomorrow on International Day of No Self-Hate, and which is also the guide's birthday.
Yeah, isn't that so fun? I love how it's become a movement, you know, it's gaining momentum. I can feel it.
Yeah, I could feel it too. So what's your experience of that, Rebecca?
Oh, gosh, you know, Scott, I was looking at that all day and just having so much fun thinking about all of the, well, actually, one of the memories that came to my mind was the very first time I realized what self-hate was, you know, because there seems to be a couple of different phases anyway, or a few different phases. The first year we go through life and we don't even know we're mired in self-hate, and then, at least this is my experience, and then I kind of, you know, we get really sort of fascinated with it or trying to fight it or push it away or whatever, and then we just sort of lose interest in, oh, you again, you know, and it's just a matter of dropping it and, you know, really wanting to get, you know, get out of it and not wanting to be, you know, it's what Ashwini talks about sometimes, being, you know, divorcing self-hate and choosing to be in a love affair with life.
Yeah, that's my experience too, those kind of different phases or stages. And that first one's pretty important, that we're not even, at first we're not even aware that that's going on. It just kind of seems like me and life is tough or those kinds of things. And we don't see that we're mired in that. And then we do see that, which is our first place of kind of starting to have a choice, right? And like you said, you know, we get to that place of, oh, there's that voice of self-hate again. Okay, got it.
Yeah. It was so, I kind of was smiling to remember. So I had been, you know, I had just been introduced to this practice. Phil and Susan and Sister Carrie had come to do a workshop out where I lived. And I was a youth minister at the time. And I realized, so I, you know, woke up the morning after they had talked about self-hate, you know, and we were getting a hint of all this stuff, right? And it was, I saw how every, and this was the day after youth group happened the night before, and I remember how it was just a constant pattern that I would be beaten up for everything bad I did while I was trying to lead these kids in youth, you know, group at my church. How this, you know, and how what jerks they were and how I shouldn't be, I was so bad with them and, you know, all these terrible things. But now I had this information about self-hate. So I remember I got out of bed and I was walking really carefully because I was watching the voices try to do what they've always done to me the night after youth group and beat me up. You know, I was walking like, I mean, I must have looked really silly the way I was walking. So, you know how we, like, when you're trying not to move, like if you're hungover and you're trying not to move your head because you have such a bad head, you know, and it was so funny because I was seeing it really for the first time in action. And it was such an amazing experience of disidentification. Of course, I didn't know that at the time or have that language at the time. But to really get, oh my God, that's something being done to me. It's not me thinking this stuff. I mean, it was just life changing. Yeah.
That is life changing. And we can all apply our experience of that kind of thing, right? Where we're doing some sort of job or task or role, and you know, what happens afterwards is we're supposed to believe a beating. You know, that we messed up, or it's really those kids are jerks, or whatever it is, there's a self-hating process. Until, as you said, I mean, this is really the experience of going beyond self-hate, is seeing that there is such thing. And you're just, I love that image of how closely you're paying attention, and seeing that it's actually being done to you. It's a voice talking to you, and just like kind of that, whoa. You know, I imagine you're kind of slowly walking around the room, and you almost need to probably sit down with the realization of the implications of that. You know, well, gosh, if that's not me, then what's possible for a human life when I'm not living in that self-hating conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just so glad tomorrow we have a chance to practice, you know, all these ways. And so I kind of wanted to ask you, Scott, maybe, you know, because it might be fun and helpful to look at what are some of the ways that we can drop it. Because it's one thing to really, okay, good, I'm all in. I want to do no self-hate today. But how? How are we going to do it? So I bet you have some tips, and I bet I have some tips that maybe we can talk about. So what's one of the ways you're going to?
Well, for me, I love recording and listening, and so I'm going to be having those earbuds in and talking on the recorder as much as I can, because, of course, I know if I'm talking on the recorder or I'm listening to those recordings, that's where the attention is. It's in, you know, what's working, what I'm grateful for, what I love, and there's zero room for self-hate in those kinds of recording and listening conversations.
Yeah, and it's so proactive, right? Because you don't even have to wait for self-hate to kick up before you then turn to a recording. If you have the earbuds in, just every chance you get, you're just being, you know, you're being where you want to be without that having a trigger being needed, which is such good training of the attention.
Well, yeah, and on that point, Rebecca, I mean, I do this every morning, actually. The night before, I make a recording for myself to wake up to, because I know if I don't, I'll wake up to the voices. And it's not just that. It's not that I don't want to wake up to self-hate. It's what you said. I want to wake up to life.
Yeah.
So the recording is, you know, welcome, and I love you, and this is what's important to us, and you know, here's some things that are going to, you know, we have kind of planned in the day, and here's how we want to be with ourselves. You know, it's just so supportive, encouraging. And again, if that's what I'm listening to, there's no room for self-hate, and I get to live in that foreign possibility instead.
Yeah,
no having to react. It's very proactive. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, you're playing offense, not defense.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about you? I bet you have some things too.
Well, oh gosh, I am fortunate enough to live around a lot of beauty, but anywhere, everybody actually lives around a lot of beauty, because we can always look up to the sky no matter where we live. So one of my favorite go-tos is to touch trees, or to gaze at the sky, or to let the sun penetrate. Like, I close my eyes and I look at the sun and just let it sort of, bask in it, you know. So, you know, nature is one of my fastest go-tos, and beauty. So I just turn I like to have the attention there just pretty much all the time. And fortunately, not only do I live in a beautiful place, but I also share a lot of time with beautiful dogs. So they're always a source of beauty too. So just turning my attention to beauty is one of my favorites.
I love that, because I was just going there with you, you know, the touching the tree and just like closing your eyes and taking in, feeling the sun, soaking that in, you know, giving all your attention to a beautiful creature. It's just, I mean, if self-hate tries to do anything at that point, it'll just show up like a blinking light in all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that beauty and presence, life. Yeah.
Well, and because it shows what's actually here and what is not actually here, what doesn't actually even exist, you know, because when we come to our senses like that, we're here. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your turn. What's another one of yours?
Well, I was just recording about this earlier, and actually, I mean, it's just great to practice no self-hate any day. And because it's the guide's birthday, I was looking at how much I've received from life through the guide. And so it's like any day practicing no self-hate is such a bonus, but I feel this extra gratitude wants to give. I mean, that's the guide's present. She wants us to practice no self-hate, which, okay, sounds great. And it's a celebration. So I just got extra, that extra focus, that extra oomph, that extra, I'm so grateful. I really want to not indulge self-hate at all, and I want to give all my attention to life today, that kind of mantra or focus. I mean, in fact, that would be a good recording to have on hand to be listening to regularly.
Yeah, and you know what you're saying about gratitude for the guide being the portal to gratitude for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I know. I mean, we can speak for everybody for sure to say how grateful we are that for everything that she has given us and modeled for us. And I mean, just it's just so deeply moving and inspiring. And fortunately, we have her. You know, I don't know. When I'm listening to my recordings, I'll hear like old guidance calls, guidance appointments, or you know, groups and everything. And there's just something, you know, in hearing her voice that just brings me here and in straight into gratitude and just feeling like having received so much.
Yeah.
A ton of gratitude for that, which is, of course, another way of staying out of self-hate is to be in gratitude.
It's another way of staying out of self-hate, and it really is a good description of what it's like to go beyond self-hate, you know, feeling blessed, feeling grateful, you know, all that joy, touching into that portal of life. Those are all those experiences that we know, or we would probably be listening to this radio show or doing this practice.
So
we get to practice that all day, which what a gift to all, huh?
Yeah. Well, even the fact that that's what she wants for her birthday is for all of us to be out of self-hate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a generosity that we can all get right in step with and want that for everything. That may all beings have peace, wish of the heart. So I'm on board. Sounds like you are too.
And I feel like we've got plenty of inspiration is what I'm hearing. So well-inspired day. And then we can just start right now. We don't even have to wait till tomorrow even, huh?
Exactly.
All right, great.
And then don't stop. And we don't have to stop at the end of tomorrow either.
And we don't have to stop. We don't. We could just keep on going. Yeah, indeed.
That's the plan. All right.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you, Scott. This was so much fun.
It was. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn the show over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. That was so much fun. Those are some lit up people, aren't they?
Yes.
I love that. We don't have to wait until tomorrow, and we don't have to stop when tomorrow ends. We can just go right on not being in self-hate for the rest of our lives.
Wow. That's a great plan.
It's a great plan. What a gift, huh?
Yes.
What a gift to the world.
Yes. I was thinking of your quote while they were talking, that we will do for the love of others what we are unwilling to do for ourselves.
Yes. And so to know that if we want a better world, if we want world peace, if we want all of those things that we wish for, the best thing that we can do is end self-hate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the place
to start.
It's not
selfish. It's the least selfish thing we could ever do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mhm. Yeah.
And I'm ready to start with announcements.
All right. Yeah.
Good. Sangha will be celebrating your birthday, Sherry, as the guide this Saturday, April 21st, with a day of virtual awareness practice workshops. The workshops are free, and everyone is invited.
Yes, no charge. We just get to show up and be together and enjoy practice. My gosh. How fun is that?
Yes, great. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the beautiful grounds of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini. Mm-hmm. A practice weekend is coming up May 25th through 27th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about a gorgeous time to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats, June 23rd through 30th, and July 7th through 14th, offer an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's what we were just talking about, huh? Not only is
yes,
it the most important work we can do, it's the greatest gift we can offer to our loved ones and total strangers.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to an interview with you, Sherry, on the One You Feed podcast by going to sherryhuber.com and clicking on interviews.
Oh, fun.
Yes, yes. And a reminder that tomorrow, April 18th, is the International Day of No Self-Hate, as Scott and Rebecca were just
saying.
We've heard
that rumor, huh?
Yes. Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right.
And a few and a few reminders for today's call. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. That will put you in the queue. And a 5-minute conversation that's focused on one topic is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
One second. Sorry. Sorry, I was just trying to get away from Liz. All right, let's see. Is that better?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, great. So this is Anna from...
Hi.
I'm actually in Palo Alto right now, Palo Alto, California.
Well, hello.
Well, hello. That was a really fun conversation.
Are you on your way to center by any chance?
I am. I went for a walk, right before a group. So I'm actually outside in the beautiful outdoors, and it's a little windy. So found a place.
Yeah, it is a little windy. Gorgeous and windy. So I interrupted you. Yeah, that was a fun conversation on going beyond self-hate.
Yeah, and I put myself in the queue and. I think the fun thing about putting myself in the queue is, like, there is stuff going on, right? There's a special thing about talking about what's going on with Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it feels like there's, like, a closeness to it. And there's one thing to, like, put it out on the recorder, but I feel like there is another thing to put it out with Sangha and with a guide. Do you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, 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 I do.
Yeah.
I was just making that argument, in fact. That was part of the reason that I said you're on your way to center, right? And I was making a case for that on the recent retreat, that it's wonderful that we do all this virtual stuff. It's wonderful. God knows recording and listening is just one of the best things that ever happened to us. But there's nothing like being together in person. It just does something different, doesn't it?
I think it does, and I think it feels like it's like a stepping up for myself in a way that just, not like up for the self, but stepping up for the human of, like, you don't have to be alone with this,
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to let it just, like, screw around with you,
Right.
Like, I'm going to put this out there. Because,
That's
you know,
right.
even the assignment from this week about the secrets, it's just like, And I was actually watching a television show that was sort of kind of about this. It was just like what it brought up for me was just this, how when you're alone with it, it's just you're kind of a goner. Not kind of,
yes.
You are a goner.
You are a goner. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I that occurs to me about what you're saying is that as long as we're not trusting other people to be with us in this, it reinforces the truth of what it's saying, right? Because if you were okay about this, you would go to Sangha and you'd talk about it. And I think, and I bet you agree with me, that that is the power of Sangha. Now, I don't know about all Sanghas or Sangha everywhere, but our Sangha, that is the power of it, that you know it is a completely safe place to say whatever because you are not going to be judged.
Yeah. I mean, that is a miracle, actually. Like, I think the fact that there is, like, this is just my experience of everything, and that there is a place to go with whatever where it actually is safe. And, I mean, that's just, like my experience of it is safe, and I think for, you know, it takes a little while to be able to actually realize that whatever you bring is going to be held in unconditional love and acceptance, you know, period, because that's right. Like modeling what's actually true for life, you know, that there really is nothing wrong. And I think just the way to prove that is just to keep coming forward with stuff. Like the stuff in the back, like I think the fear, the retreat, the retreat over New Year's, I think it's the same one you guys just did, was for me, part of that was just bringing up that stuff. I just wasn't, it was like, oh yeah, that's proof you really are a bad person.
if people knew that, well, that would be it, right?
Yeah.
And then people do, and you're fine.
Exactly. Not only am I fine, I'm not tortured by it. Like, it can't torture me by something that I am not going to keep myself alone with it around.
Yes. You know? Yeah, it brings it up. It tries to bring it up. And you can do one of two things. You can say that, you know, that's really good. I'm gonna talk about that. You know, I'm gonna call into the radio show, or I'm gonna go to center group wherever it is, if that's available. And I'm just gonna get this out there because that's a really good point. I don't want this to be a secret. Or if you've already talked about it and it tries to bring it up, you just go, that's old news. We've already talked about that. We've dealt with that. That's over.
Yeah, you told me this was going to happen. I went ahead and tried anyway, and you know what? It didn't happen. You're a liar.
Right.
So I just feel like I just feel so supported, knowing that there's a place to go with anything. And I think the only way to prove it to myself is just to bring stuff. To be like, well, what about this?
Over and over and over, right? Because it tries the same thing. It says, okay, well, sure, you talked about that, but you can't talk about that. And then you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, and I also wanted to say, you know, I'm excited for the International Day of No Self-Hate and an early
got
happy
big
birthday.
Plans? Thank you. You got big plans?
You know, I do. It was really fun to hear the ideas at the beginning of the show of like, you know, okay, what about this and that? And, you know, considering the ways that I can incorporate those ideas into my practice plan for tomorrow. So
the other thing about that, Anna, is, you know, I hope everybody does something special for themselves. You know, the Dogen quote of treasure yourself, you know, that not only not be beaten up by the voices, but strive for the kind of pleasurable, enjoyable experience of being with life that lets us know we're loved.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's very heart opening to hear you say that. That's what you want for your birthday.
What could be better, huh?
I know
what
it's absolutely
be
true.
Better? Yep.
Because
yep.
I think whenever I'm asked the question, "What do you want for your birthday?" it's like the attention turns to me, and I'm like, "What do I want for my birthday?" And I think what I see modeled, you know, is just instead of what do I want for me on my birthday, is what do I want for my birthday? You know.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like I think we were talking this morning, dreaming big, you know, dreaming big.
Yeah. And you know, Anna, it's a really logical, like, what do you want for your birthday? Well, I want everybody I love to be happy.
Yeah.
I want everybody I love to know how wonderful they are, what a
yeah.
gift they are, what a difference
yeah.
their life makes. Yeah. That, I mean, what else could we want? What could we want that
yeah.
would be better? Nothing would make you happier, right, than
no,
to have
absolutely.
Everybody you love be happy.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's like thinking much bigger than the self, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
To the deepest
yeah.
desire
or,
of the heart.
The deepest desire of the heart. There you go. That's it. What do we really
yeah.
want? Yeah. All
yeah.
right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
See
Thank
you,
you
soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Sherry, what I heard in that conversation was the privileged environment and the
mm-hmm.
intimacy and the protection and the freedom that that provides. And I'm thinking about
mm-hmm.
sort of group discussions specifically, as you were talking
mm-hmm.
about there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or guidance
yes.
for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's until somebody experiences it, it's hard to imagine. And once we experience it, we really don't want to be with people in any other way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We had this thing at the retreat. People started talking about helpaholics and that conditioned knee-jerk reaction that something's going on with somebody and wanting to jump in and help them. You know, just
yes.
help them. And of course, we're conditioned not even to let them know we're doing that. But, you know, we just step in and take over. But then there's asking,
right.
well, what do you need? What can I do to help? And I was, we were trying to make the case that that everybody is adequate. They don't need that. And the thing that dropped in for me afterwards was, so somebody, you know, like Anna is talking about, just revealed something that has been painful, suffering, a suffering place for them because it's been kept in a secret. You can't let anybody know that, isolating kind of place. And so somebody puts that out, and conditioning would have us do something to help them, make them
yes.
feel better, right?
Yes.
And what I was looking at is it's a way of, so I'm going to be in that helpaholic position, right? And I'm going to take their life, their circumstances, their suffering, their clarity, their breakthrough, and I'm going to make it all about me.
Yes.
Right? Yes, because I'm going
yes.
to take the attention off of them and bring it back to me, right? So that I can feel good about having helped them. And it's just, you know, the conditioning comes, and, you know, people with that conditioning are coming from a very good place. I'm not denying that. But it's so disrespectful. And it doesn't
yes.
actually accomplish what we hope it will accomplish because the person doesn't feel empowered or the receiving a confirmation of their adequacy or anything like that. So to be able
mm-hmm.
to be with people with whatever is going on with them and just be respectfully present to that, I think is a wonderful gift.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And another wonderful gift is that we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan in L.A.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, is the wind bad? Because it's all, take off the earbuds. Can you hear me? Okay?
The wind was bad when you first came on, but it's not now.
Okay, well, I'm sitting down in a tree, so hopefully.
I'm hiding from the wind. Good.
I mean, protect me. Yeah, so, I was preparing to call, thinking of all the things I could, should, want to talk about, I thought, now, why am I really calling? And I I realize, as always, it's just this desire to connect. You know, like,
yes.
Hey, I'm here. I miss you.
Yep.
I miss you. You know, clearly. And mm-hmm. then all my issues
yeah.
and problems, they're interesting, but they're really not as important as that.
Exactly. Exactly. And they only exist when we don't feel that presence and connection. Right? Because
yeah.
when we're here
oh.
and we know we belong, mm-hmm. then they're just things that are going on in life, opportunities, possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when you said that, I could feel my heart just kind of go, ooh, you know, it's like instead of I can do this, it's more like we can do this. That
uh-huh.
sense of,
yes.
yeah, not being alone. It's very touching. So, yeah, and then I was listening when you were talking about being respectfully present, and the voice in my head in your previous conversation with Michael went, well, let's start with being respectfully present for yourself instead of trying to fix yourself. How about that?
Ooh.
Start there.
Ooh. Ooh, there's a fabulous application, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like this voice out of nowhere, like, oh, okay, well, let's see. How can we apply that right here, right now? So,
yeah.
So I'm looking forward, yeah, to the get out of free jail card on the no self-help hate thing.
Uh-huh.
And I actually had an immediate application, which is tomorrow I have a meeting with a potential client. And it's kind of always for me a big deal. Like, you know, I feel like I have, well, I have to sell myself and establish credibility and show how I'm going to, in quote, self them. And I usually have a lot of anxiety and kind of dread. And then I thought, but I have a get-out-of-jail-free card. I don't have to walk out of that meeting and review it and criticize myself.
That's
think,
right.
You know, nothing.
That's
and I
right.
thought, oh, well, this is good. I just won't know, and I won't even look at it. You know, it's really, then I realized how strong that process is.
Uh-huh. In a way, right, it tortures, if we let it, it tortures us in the lead up.
Oh, well,
yes.
yeah,
the anxiety and the pressure, all of that. Then if it can, it'll make us unconscious during the event, right? So
exactly.
you walk out of it and you're not really sure what happened. What did you say? What did they say? Did they, right? And then the review starts, you know, where it's going to just play back this stuff to you. And really you can't defend yourself because you're not really sure what happened.
And the person is not there to say, did you really think this? Did this really happen?
Right.
And they're not there. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I never quite seen it's that fear of being beaten for making a mistake and that it should. And you know what else I just thought? If I focused on connecting with that person the way
yes.
I am on this call with you and Sangha,
yes.
it wouldn't
yes.
even be a non-issue. But so,
yes.
it takes trust. It takes
yeah.
yeah.
Well, it takes or clarity. Because, you know,
okay.
you know that what you're saying is true.
Yes,
you
I
know
do.
It. Yeah, you mm-hmm. know it. You know that if the roles were reversed, what you would want from that person who was coming to you is somebody who could focus on you. Not on themselves,
yeah.
not on what am I going to get out of this and what
yeah,
you know,
will I get this, will I not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you want somebody to be really focused on you so that they actually see you and have a sense of what you need and, you know, so you know that. It doesn't actually take trust. What it takes is not caving when those voices come in with, well, yeah, but if you don't, and if they don't, and this is going to, and what if you, and, you know, it's staying strong in the face of that fear-mongering.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, what I thought was, if I saw each of these meetings as a complete experience in and of themselves,
uh-huh.
not leading anywhere, not coming from anywhere, they
uh-huh.
would be enough. They are enough, you know.
They are enough. So that's the process is the outcome. right? You're not meeting with these people to get something, right? You're meeting with these people to meet with these people. And what a glorious opportunity to be with another human being in that way.
Yeah, I've always thought about that process outcome, and I'm always going, I don't quite get it. I don't know. But now, when you say that, I go, oh, that's it.
Yeah. What's going on now is what's going on now, and what's going on now is what's going on now. And that's always going to be the case, right? Nothing is ever actually leading to anything else. So what I'm going to get out of this is this, right? So I better make it a really good this.
Yeah.
So you really want to enjoy it.
Yeah, for just what it is, and then it's gone. It doesn't have to go anywhere or do anything, but I will have totally enjoyed that moment. So I'm grateful for the get-out-of-jail-free card and that note. And I want to carry it. Yeah, I could maybe make one and carry it with me.
That's right. And you know, Susan, this is it's what Scott and Rebecca were talking about. You know, you do that tomorrow for this meeting, you may decide you want to do every meeting for the rest of your life that way.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I feel very, I used to say sad, and then one time I was talking to you, try the word move. That might be closer. So I'm very moved by the thought and that experience. So.
There's a little bit of wind there. Can you say that again?
Oh, I said I feel very moved by this conversation and just the whole simple elegance of it. I don't even have words for it, of connecting with whoever or about whatever, whenever.
That's the true.
It's my heart.
Yes. That's what we're all going for, isn't it? Your potential clients, just like you and me, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants to be seen and heard and appreciated and loved unconditionally. Everybody wants the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Have fun tomorrow. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. Sherry, what I heard in that conversation is that this is it. Right here.
Yes.
Right now.
Right now. Yep.
Right here. Right now.
Yeah. So we want it to be the way we want it to be, right? And the beautiful thing about that is we can make it the way we want it to be. We can choose the way we want it to be, and then we can have that. It's all within our ability because we can all turn the attention, and that's all that's required.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk with more callers then.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Deanna from Santa Cruz.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Well, I guess what's happening, I think I'm just looking for some support and guidance. I've actually lost two people in the last 3 weeks to suicide. And,
oh, my.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm not sure what I'm asking. I mean, I'm very aware of how self-hate can kill us. So I'm really aware of that. And again, I'm not sure what the question is, but, you know, I went to a funeral last Sunday, and I'm going to one this Saturday, and aware of the irony of the day of practice, and also the loss of, you know, someone in my circle. So,
And Deanna, it does feel like that's what happens, the self-hate?
Certainly. Well, in the first case, yeah, I mean, that's how I'm making sense of it. A lot of really terrible things happened to her in a sequence. And it was like she could handle the first one and the second one and the third, and then she couldn't handle the last one. I think it was something that she had been fighting, you know, her whole life. She had done self-harm at other times. But I think we all thought she was doing better. And there's just a lot of grief, a lot of people who don't understand it and they're trying to figure it out. And for me, it brings up, you know, my best friend committed suicide when we were 21. And so it is bringing a lot of that back. But what I now know this many years later is it's really hard to figure it out. I'm not sure that.
And we can't.
Yeah.
Right? We can't figure it out. No.
Right.
No, we can't. In the same way, you know, there's an expression that seems like a kindness. You know, you have a loss, and I say, "Oh, I know how you feel." Well, no, I don't. You know, I've had losses, but I don't know how you feel. I don't know. You know, I don't. I don't know what goes on in your mind. I don't know how you see things. I don't know what you believe or your assumptions. I just don't. I can't. It's not possible. And so trying to figure out what's going on with somebody or to make sense out of something like that, you know, when a person doesn't want to be alive more than they want to be alive, that there, the scale is tipped in that direction. And yes, we get to that place of, gosh, if I'd known, you know, wasn't there something, maybe there was something I could have done. Maybe, but we don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of us are asking ourselves. What could we have done? And, you know, could we have bought a little more time? And then they could have integrated the last, you know, really hard thing. But,
right.
Yeah, but I think, I'm mostly sitting, you know, there is a part of me that's trying to figure it out, but I've seen how that hasn't really worked when I've gone through things before. You know, it doesn't feel like that why is a,
because we know why, right? We actually know why, because it wasn't worth going through what I'm going through in order to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
Life
mm-hmm.
no longer had that meaning, right? Because that, I mean, we're looking at that kind of all the time, right? I mean, for most people, it's on a smaller scale. You know, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Is this worth it? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think so. It's just, right, it's rare, you know, it's not usual that it's at that level of...
No.
Yeah.
But it's the same process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to buy that new car, that means I'm going to have to not have this. Or if I buy that particular one, that's going to be more... You know, or I'm going to buy a new house, or I'm going to go on a trip, or I'm going to, you know, where can my child go to college if it's, you know, if I'm paying for it. So is it worth it? Is what I'm getting worth what I'm going through?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we get to the point that, no, it's not, you know, and for, of course, you know, for people who are depressed, it's often a just wake up and fight through another day. Wake up and fight through another day. And if I have to look at days and weeks or months of that, it's not worth it. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and that's what I think, you know, finally happened. I think it was just excruciating, and so she ended it. And Yeah. And I'm not sure what to do. You know, we're having circles, kind of circles of love in the community, to remember her and celebrate her, but also to remember our connections to one another, and connections to love. Because I think mm-hmm. that's part of what's so difficult about depression is it's so wily in how it says, be alone, stay isolated, stay away. And convinces us, at least when I've had depression in the past, it's convinced me that I've always been depressed and will always be depressed. And that's why I think it can be so powerful, is it fools you, because that's not true. But that's
it's not true. That's right.
That's what it seems like when you're in it.
Yeah. Yes. Which goes back to self-hate, right? Because what is it? What is it in us that would talk us into a choice like that?
Right.
And I hear that from people who aren't at the end of a series of losses. But, you know, why don't you just quit? Why don't you quit? And then if it keeps going, why don't you just kill yourself? And so that kind of voice inside the head, that self-hating voice, if it's allowed to be an authority in our lives, then when it concludes something like that, it sounds like a good idea.
Right.
And as you say, if we don't have that clarity, the this too shall pass. If we are trained to look at how I feel now as the ultimate truth of reality, then I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble on a daily basis, and it can lead to this kind of situation.
Yeah, I'm reminded, you know, of some time when you said, you know, when you wake up and you ask yourself, how do I feel? You know, not a good idea. Like, it doesn't matter how you feel. You still get up and you meditate and you brush your teeth and how it's not helpful, because who's asking that question? How do I feel?
Who's self-hate? Answering? Right? Yeah. So the same system asks it and answers it, and it's not going to be good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course the thing that practice helps us with, that we, you know, I always wish for your friends, you know, that there is a way not to feel what conditioning says we feel and have to feel. We know how to alter that, but, you know, it's a... Yeah, it's just not, not well known.
Yeah, I think that for me is such the gift of practice, is that I don't believe what the voice says about how I feel.
Yes. Oh, my God. And isn't that a gift that you wish you could give to the entire world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your other friend?
Well, yeah, this my partner's dear friend's son, and that one's still very, very young, 15 years old. That one is still an absolute mystery to everyone. Nobody is understanding that one. You know, no signs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So not someone super close to me, but you know, in my circle, and
yeah.
You know, definitely my family is going through it because and there've been too many more of those, and so it's just it does. I don't forget that self-hate wants to kill us. I don't forget that because I've been reminded of it. And so it can be life or death whether you listen and whether you believe what it says.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It, and of course, you know, a lot of people who hear us say things like that just roll their eyes with, okay, that's nuts. But it's not nuts. It is trying to kill us, and it's doing it slowly on a day-to-day basis with little choices and decisions, and they build, and we see that with an awful lot of people as they get older, that where conditioning is winning, that there's more disliking than liking, there's more unhappiness than happiness, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I,
which is an argument for staying in the light, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's an argument for practicing like your hair is on fire because it is.
Because it is, yes. Because it is. Because we can't afford we want to be relaxed, but we don't want to have a guard. So all those expressions, that's not it. But we don't want to lose consciousness for a second because that system never loses focus, not ever. And we need to be just as vigilant in our presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know that you're going to continue to choose unconditional love.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, just kindness and gentleness and compassion for myself,
mm-hmm.
and just the preciousness of life and the preciousness of Sangha and community, and really wanting to make sure that I express love whenever I can, in any way that I can. That's what I'm really doing lately is just expressing love and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's the best we can offer, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I can't offer answers to people. I think all I can do is offer love and compassion and model that by offering it to myself.
Yeah, be that to the best of our ability in each moment.
So lots of love from me to the Sangha, to you, for this practice, because I think this practice really does save lives, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, me too. And all of that to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Take care. You too.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Deanna. Sherry, I was just reflecting on what you were talking about there at the end about expressing love in all the ways that I can. And I think especially about just going out in the world and little kindnesses to strangers and little generosities and friendly smiles. Mm-hmm. And it's huge.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. Yeah. I wish everybody could get how really important it is.
You know, in our, especially in our age of technology, again, you're sitting at a restaurant and everybody in the restaurant has their nose in some kind of device. You know, there'll be a family sitting at a table and everybody's family has a phone in front of them. And, people walk down the street, wherever it is, just the isolation of that kind of interaction with life. You know, it's not that there's anything wrong with the technology. It's not that. It's just the isolation, the not being aware of who is around us, not taking the opportunity to engage with, other adults and children and animals and nature and everything that there is that brings us back to this moment. And I think we're suffering a tremendous loss that's presented to us as a boon,
I was just thinking about social media, and I heard it framed recently as, this is the fun thing I'm doing without you. people posting on various social media sites and, this is the fun thing I'm doing and you're not there. And I think conditioning can turn it into that message and as another form of that isolation that you're talking about. Sherry, are you there? No? Okay. I think we lost Sherry. Hold on one second here. Okay, Sherry, are you there?
And then there was a beep, 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 and you were all gone.
And now you're back.
And now here we are.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Okay, let's talk to our next caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff.
Hey. Well, happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
This is coming up is my favorite holiday of the year.
The No Self-Hate Day?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
The International Day of No Self-Hate.
Yeah.
I was...
We got to get Google to recognize it. Don't you think? We have the little banner across there. Yeah.
Exactly. This is the kind of thing we want to go viral for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious about that. And it's, as I imagine, say a little bit earlier, I was imagining being unmuted and saying that. And what came up was really just like almost bursting into tears, and getting that, it really is my favorite holiday. Because this process is what is freeing this human and all humans from what we've been in bondage to for, and from the Buddhist perspective, I guess, kalpas. But just one lifetime. I mean, how much suffering there is in a single lifetime, and then multiply that by, oh, my gosh, all the people in the world and all throughout time. And, oh, my gosh.
So, it's big, isn't it? It really is. It's one of those things that I do wish everybody understood how big it is, how important it is, that if we don't find compassion, if then we don't have a prayer of not suffering.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It, yeah, absolutely. That's the only possibility.
Yes, exactly. And it's not, you know, it's not feeling sorry for other people or pitying people or feeling bad that people are going hungry. That's really not what we're talking about, right? It's compassion for the human condition and applying direct application of that compassion. As my teacher said, how do you ever hope to end suffering in the world if you don't end it in the one place you can feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we don't end it here, in the very heart that we know suffers, then that's it. You know, everything else just kind of doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, right.
And we know that from our own lives, right?
Oh, I do. I've watched this kind of thing, as a teacher many times, that it is impossible for me to stop being judgmental and critical of the kids unless I see that what's going on is there's judgment and criticism of this person, and that's where I can start.
Yes.
You know, and then when coming back to unconditional love and acceptance of this person, which is really coming back into the moment, you know, into connection with all that is, that's when that judgment that might be directed at children or anybody, that's when that stops.
Yeah. It just falls away, right? When that connection with life is, it's like plugging a cord into electricity, right? When that connection is clearly established, then all that negativity just falls away.
Mm-hmm.
It can't exist in the present. So, of course, it falls away. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would actually like, going back to your conversation with Anna at the beginning, because Central Karma Conditioning Self Aid definitely does not want this to happen. But so there was an opportunity at a retreat that I visited in the recent past to share something, and I didn't do that because there was the going, you know, buying into the fear and so on. But it was so great to have it talked about on the call tonight that, whatever it is that egocentric karma conditioning self-hate holds over this human, to say, okay, well, I'm going to put that out there because I'm going to say that. And then, you know, I think that the next part will be, and I'm going to not let you tell me that I need to feel bad about that. For one thing, you're doing it. You know, egocentric karma conditioning self-hate, you know, you're the one doing it anyway. But I'm just a little more preamble, and that is, so there are, you know, at least several things, and I'm not going to talk about them all tonight, but I'm just going to do one, but I'm looking at, oh, well, that, you know, I can just, okay, those are things that, you know, at another opportunity, I can say another one of them and say, you know, this human being is absolutely lovable no matter what it says, it's true.
Your goodness is established.
Right.
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 That's not up for debate. Your goodness is established, and then there's everything that's going on in a human life.
Right. Yeah. So the big evil thing is that I experience racial prejudice, that goes on in the head, and that is used as, oh, well, therefore you are the wrong person, you know, to be part of this sangha or to be kind of, you know, among the right people who feel the right way, or whatever, that because that comes up sometimes, that means, oh, okay, you're a bad person. It's just one of the things that it says, okay, well, you know, now, and, you know, like right now it's saying, okay, well, now that that's out there, you know, people are going to know, and this is how they're going to judge you, and so on.
Okay. This is one of those where, so last week, you know, at the retreat, we got to do, because we're all in the room together, right? And when somebody goes, you know, something is going on with them, and I have to stop and say, okay, would everybody who's ever had that experience raise their hand? Okay, I wish we could do that with everybody who's on this call. You know, anybody who has ever experienced prejudice, right? It racial prejudice, any kind of prejudice,
right?
It's all the same conditioned reaction, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, who has not had that experience? I think probably there would be nobody with their hand down.
Right. Yeah, and I know that. And you know, I mean, as I go around, I watch the prejudice machine, as you say, with everything. It's just
everything.
It's creating prejudice about every little thing.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
It's just that, you know, and still for some reason there's some level of buy-in that, oh, well, this is unacceptable.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and Jeff, it goes back to a fundamental place in practice. You know, if you went out, you know, you get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to find people to be prejudiced against or about or whatever you finish that sentence with, right? But that's not what happens. You're walking around and something appears in your mind,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not thinking it up. You're not, right? It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
It just appears there. Why does it appear there? Well, because we're all conditioned with all of this stuff. And so it happens. It's in there. And so, you know, if I see somebody with red hair, you know, I have whatever goes on with me about somebody with red hair. If I see somebody, I was going to do socks and sandals, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, then however we're conditioned, that's what we're getting a chance to see. So you can stop right then and say, okay, well, that appeared in this head. Now, do I believe that? Is that true? Is that actually my experience? Would I choose to make a case for this? And you would say, no, of course not. But I can't stop it from showing up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, there would be a lot less stuff showing up in my head.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of what I look at in all of this, you know, with the two things I mentioned tonight, the judgment of children or racial prejudice. So those are the two of the things that seem among the least acceptable things you know, but so that really is the place of, okay, so that it's a huge invitation to go to unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes. Yes. You know, Jeff, one of the things that we talk about in practice, I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, but an encouragement I give people, you know, watch your reaction to children and you will know how you were treated at a particular age.
Yeah.
Right? So that, you know, that stuff is in there. So, yes, we recognize that. There it is. It comes out. And as you say, that's our opportunity to go to unconditional love. Not to fall for what that system wants us to fall for, which is that, of course, it never says that thought appeared in your head. That's how you feel, and that makes you a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And if we just stop at that thought appeared in my head, wow, conditioning is ugly. I choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, and it occurs to me that's that there's a really good recording to make along those lines, which
yes.
is basically, this is how this human being has been conditioned.
Yes.
So this
yes.
is what this human being is suffering with.
That's right.
Rather than blame him and hate him for that, let's
That's
help
right.
him get free of it.
Rather than be judgmental of him and prejudiced against him, which is what conditioning would do, right?
Mm.
First present the information and then do to him what it's accusing him of, which I think is an irony we have to appreciate, instead to just say, no, we're not doing that. We're choosing unconditional love. It really doesn't matter what happened in the past. As you say, kalpas of life experience in all kinds of situations have resulted in all kinds of things that pop up in our head. Okay. I choose unconditional love.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Treasure
thank
yourself.
Thank you, Michael. Oh, thank you, Sherry. Paul. You too.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And Sherry, we are at the end of our wonderful show here.
Well, son of a gun. Here we are.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure. And tomorrow is International Day of No Self-Hate.
So, we're going to treasure the human and everything else.
And everything else.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. All right.
Good night.
Night.